It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this July 3rd. Party in the USA coming up this weekend. Can't wait for it. One of my favorites, my actually favorite time of the year is right now. And I tell you, Miley Cyrus, some of those songs, I am not afraid to say that I love that song. I love a couple. So I saw her live in Pittsburgh at the hockey arena when she was there. It was that tour that she was like, you know, a little more risque than normal. I went with Gina. She came down. She slid down on a giant tongue slide, I remember. And, dancing provocatively on cars and things like that. It was very entertaining.
It would have been like Pete Hoffman's mom and his son.
Yeah, before he worked at FAN. Yeah. He used his tongue for Miley Cyrus to slide down.
He would love that.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. So, I got to break out all those songs. And there's one, you know, you talk about how you were crying during the Islanders' first overall pick selection and Schaefer and the story and his mom and everything else.
Yes.
I have to admit, there's like one time a year, it's a guarantee that I will tear up. Guarantee.
God Bless America on July 4th.
You're so close.
Oh, my God.
It's the Ray Charles.
Yeah.
America the
Beautiful. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
that's what I was thinking.
While I'm watching fireworks, has to be that happening, combination.
You'll have a little tinge of emotion.
Yeah, so, like, there's been a couple of times that I've been out, like, I'll go out on a boat, just not far out because it's dark and there's drunk people, but I'll just go right out and just in the bay, sit there, put that on. Fireworks going, America, America, and all of a sudden start flowing a little bit.
That means you're a hardcore patriot. You can feel the emotion.
Well, it's one of those things. I'm not going to go, you know, cheesy or anything. It was one of those things.
You're wearing an American flag golf shirt.
Well, yeah, it's 4th of July, man.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying.
And by the way, Ryder Cup, Bethpage Black.
I right see there. That.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's like one of those times you take stock. And appreciate.
Yes, you do. Stock.
So, that is a lock for a tear up spot. Tear up spot right there. All right. Let's go to Will in Sayville. What's going on, Will? Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, Gio.
How you doing?
So, you know, the last couple of days we've been talking a lot about tongues and mouth.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, did you ever get your new teeth that Boomer said he was going to hook you up with early in the year?
Yeah, I did not. I did not, Will. And the offer is still there. So Boomer did not back out. You know him. He doesn't back out of things. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. But the discussion we had
still
was...
waiting. Is that still on the waiting list, like the Ford Raptor? Because, I mean, I want to see you, you know, pop that thing out and do some donuts outside the Ford Village area, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Will, you're a very good listener, Will. I got to say,
you were awesome. On my side, Will. You were great. I hope to one day meet you in person around
Sayville. Well, we're neighbors, you know. I mean, sometimes I see you popping in and out of the car bell. So, you know, I want to see you popping out of the Ford Raptor and do some donuts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Well, first of all.
All right, guys, enjoy your weekend. I got to head out. I'm on my way down to North Carolina. We're listening over here with the family, so... So enjoy your weekend, man, and let's go Yankees.
All right, Will. Great. Thanks for calling.
All right, listen, Will, I'm just telling you, the offer stands for the teeth. I got the dentist all set up and ready to rock and
he
roll.
He did. I got nervous. I got trepidatious. It's not a full no. It's just it's an on-hold situation. So you never know. Maybe one day I'll wake up, you know, probably after the summer and say, I want to go through with this. As of right now, it's just... it's on. It came so quickly, the whole conversation. And that's why, you know, with
you're
Boomer.
You're very nervous about it.
Yeah, with things with Boomer can happen like that. Like, I was just making a comment about Steve Cohen and his teeth and how if I were Steve Cohen, I would have gotten new teeth. And you said, would you like new teeth? I said, that'd be great. Just thinking we're having a conversation and bang, next thing you know, you're on the phone with a...
Dr. J.
Yeah. So right now it's on hold. But I just want to make sure that people know that Boomer did not... take back the offer.
No, it's not
still,
at all.
Still stands. Gaetano in Philadelphia. What's going on, Gaetano?
Boomer and Gio. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. What do you got for us, Gaetano?
Just calling to agree with Gio. America the Beautiful, Ray Charles, number one part of 4th of July. I think it stems back to the Sandlot. Things are easy.
Yeah.
Best day of the year. Just agreeing with you guys. Listen every morning. Go Yanks. Have a good one.
You know what? That is a great point. I didn't bring that up. That they do that in the Sandlot. And watching that as a kid and the baseball and the nostalgia and everything else, that definitely is a part of it.
It touches a piece of you.
I got little chills right now, actually.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it. You know? One of those times of the year.
I'm glad to hear it.
Because, you know, just so you know, people are like, oh, you're so negative.
You're not so negative.
I hear that.
But, well, who tells you that?
You know, people. But
what people?
You get the people, the callers sometimes, the social media sometimes.
But worry about the social media. Don't worry about the callers.
Right, I'm not worried about it. I'm just telling you that, you know, there'll be times where I will say, like January 2nd, worst day of the year.
Yeah, okay.
It's horrendous. It's just bad because, you know, you got the three death months coming up. You just got off your vacation. You're grinding. The weather sucks. January 2nd sucks.
Football playoffs.
Yeah, but it just sucks. January 2nd sucks.
You know, I'm a silver lining guy.
Sure.
And you know that.
But like today.
I can doom scroll.
Today, tomorrow,
yeah.
This weekend. This is as good as it gets.
I've been known for the doom scroll.
You are a doom scroller. Yeah.
I am. But I will say, for the most part, silver lining guy.
Indeed.
That's the way I got to look at it.
Let's go to John and Tom's River. What's going on, John?
Gentlemen, happy 4th, man. How's it going, guys?
Great, John. Happy 4th to you. What's up? Right.
You know, I'm a long time, man. You guys got the best radio. I'm telling you, man. I don't mean to blow smoke, but you guys really make my day.
Oh, thanks,
John.
But
anyway, you know, Volpe, 24-year-old kid, I couldn't be more proud of this guy. I hate, like, especially BT and Sal, man. Give the guy a break. He's 24 years old. He's not doing that bad. He's a pretty damn good shortstop. I think he's going to be all right. What's your opinion on this?
Yeah, well, and we've talked about it, John. Thanks for the kind words, the whole thing. But this is a season where I believe that, what I call yesterday, a referendum season on him. And it's year three. There's been minimal improvement. He's made some critical defensive mistakes in key situations. And the problem was he was supposed to be the next Derek Jeter, but homegrown, you know? And the other issue was, but this is what was told and was said about him. The other issue was there was a lot of trades back in the day that the Yankees could have made to get someone to help them at the trade deadline, that Volpe was like an untouchable. So you figured this kid better come up and he better be an untouchable. And that quite hasn't happened yet. But
he's 24 years old, man. And I'm just like, you're the shortstop of the New York Yankees. You want to talk about pressure. You want to talk about what Mike Brown is stepping into.
Yeah.
But at least Mike Brown has got history and he's got, you know, he's been around players. He's going to handle it fine. I mean, Volpe is still figuring it out. And, yeah, he's tries to hit too many home runs. He strikes out too much. And now, with the mistakes that he's made in the field, you know, they start building up and the Yankees are losing. So everybody's got to start screaming about somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, like, here's a young guy that the Yankees held on to. They're always criticized for not holding on to their youthful players and trying to bring them up. And when you have youthful players like this who plays the most important position on your team and is going to have opportunity after opportunity, he's going to make some mistakes. I'm not a Yankee fan, as you know, but I am an Anthony Volpe fan, and I'm for two reasons. One, he's really quiet. It's not about him. And number two, he's a local kid, and I would love for him to do well.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's good for Anthony Volpe's future is Brian Cashman loves a homegrown guy on a rookie contract that still has potential, and he's kept those guys around for a very, very long time, maybe longer than they should. Now, Glaber came in a trade, but he was still one of the young guys that was coming up. I felt like they stuck with him maybe a year too long. I always bring up Gary Sanchez. So, you know, maybe it isn't a referendum season for Brian Cashman's eyes. But, you know, he's tended to give these guys a long, long time to get it figured out before he moves on from
it. Like, if you tell me it's a Carmelo or an A-Rod and you're screwing around and they're not getting the job done, that's a different story. This kid is a, you know, a homegrown product. He's 24 years old, man. I'm like, just, we were talking about this the other day, looking at the NBA draft and the NHL draft, and you see these kids, and they look like babies.
Yeah, they know that, especially in the NHL for whatever reason.
Well, not even maybe because they're not as tall as the NBA players, but you got 18-year-olds out there, and you're thinking that, okay, maybe, like, remember when Porzingis was drafted by the Knicks?
Yeah.
And he was going to be the game changer. Yeah, but we all got tired of it. We got tired of the injuries. We got tired of, you know, the attitude. We got tired of this, so we got to get rid of him. And then he, you know, he's gone on and won a championship.
Yeah, and now he's on another team, and but for sure, but he definitely matured. There was no doubt about it that he was immature here. He thought too highly of himself. He had a pain in the ass brother, you know?
Yeah, I know, but that's what happens. But I'm not saying, like, Anthony Volpe is not a pain in the ass.
No, no, no.
He is not, and he may be a little bit physically immature, but I am not going to kill a 24-year-old kid that's making, you know, minimum money. I will hammer a $765 million player that's not leading his team. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Let's go to Dan in West Orange. What's up, Dan?
Oh, good boy. How are you?
Good, hey, Dan. What's happening, brother?
Hey, Boomer, I got to talk to you, man. I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, man, what did I do now?
What did you do now? You're framing yourself. You're the silver lining. I woke up on Monday morning after a bad weekend for the Mets. Right? I'm a huge Mets fan, season ticket holder, blah, blah, blah. And you come on the air and say, we're firing everybody. That's not silver lining, man. You got to have some positivity in life. If there's one thing about Jets, Mets, Knicks, I'm an Islander fan, you're a Ranger fan, blah, blah, blah. It's resiliency. You need to be positive, all right? You killed my week. I actually took a hiatus from listening to you guys because you pissed me off. I felt like, I have two questions for you. Ready?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Do you have a therapist? It's a yes or no question.
No.
Okay. And the second question is, when you wake up in the morning on Monday, do you look in the mirror and see Evan Roberts? Because that's what I heard at 6 o'clock in the morning. You killed my week.
All right, Dan, so you're a Met fan. I felt like when I came in here Monday morning, I had to get what was building up over the weekend against the Pirates, and I had to get it off my chest because I was yelling at Ronnie Darling through text messages.
That's a fact.
During these games, and that's a fact. And when I came in Monday morning, I was livid, and I thought I was speaking for all of you guys. I thought you would get something out of that. And, you know, in Monday morning.
No, I got nothing out of
that. I'm sorry, but I was not.
None of us got anything out of that.
Self-reflection. I will admit, Monday morning, I was not a silver lining guy. Monday morning, I was pissed off, Boomer, at the Mets and their salaries and their players and the fact that they were embarrassed in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was a bad weekend, Dan.
It was awful.
Honestly, but you don't have to tell me again. I heard it Monday, and he's like, shut
well,
it off.
You're the one that just brought it up, Dan, damn it.
I know, because I finally turned it back. I didn't listen to you guys for 4 days. It was 3 days.
I'm sorry.
Apologize. It doesn't mean anything to me. Resiliency, guys. New York fans should be resilient.
Yeah.
We are resilient, man. We've been hit over the head with the idiot stick. And by the way, I played for the Jets. You didn't.
Oh, man. That's funny. Yeah, you know, there's a couple types of listeners. There's a listeners that when things are going bad, they can't listen because they don't want to hear negativity. And then there's listeners who are mad and they need to listen to be able to hear people with the same attitude as them and the same feelings as them because it makes them feel better that they're complaining with us. So
I always feel like I come in here with a reasonable take on things.
Yeah.
I try not to get overly emotional.
You know what I think it is?
That Monday morning, though, I got to tell you, that weekend of baseball, after they had taken two from the Braves, and we all thought, okay, we're going to turn this season around. That was disgraceful.
No, it was. I think also, too, like, because, you know, the baseball guys, BT and Sal, in the midday, like, really, when things are going negative, they'll really hammer these guys.
Oh, those guys are really negative.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, people come here for more of like a, hey, it's going to be okay, pat on the back sort of situation with these teams when it's a long baseball season.
Well, I try to be reasonable.
Yeah, no, listen, if there was ever time to blow a gasket, it was Monday. There's no doubt about it, if there ever was a time. I mean, was there statistically the worst run differential in the history of the organization in a 3-game series?
You know, I am a human being.
Indeed. Let's go to Tracy in Atlantic Highlands. What's going on, Tracy?
Oh, hi, guys. I've missed you.
Oh, hi, Tracy. I was just thinking about you the other day. I said, I wonder if she's on vacation somewhere. Where did she go, Tracy? But she's still there in Atlantic Highlands.
I'm still here in Atlantic Highlands, yeah. And I had a call yesterday with one of the sales guys from the advertising team, and I'm like, I have to call them, okay?
Wait, what?
what, one of our slaps?
Yeah, his name is Mark. He was super nice. He says he, like, works across the hall from you guys. So, so then I reached out to Al and I'm like, I'm gonna give a call and find out where's the craziest place that you guys have recorded a show. And wow. Besides the Super Bowl, I know that.
Craziest meaning like an insane.
Like, interesting, like something interesting.
Well, I mean, the boat party was the most interesting.
Yeah, when we did the boat party, because then that ended up we get on a boat and had a live band on a barge and that whole thing.
Where was that?
That was near me. That started out in Bayshore and went into the Connectquot River over by Great River in Oakdale. And it was.
Why don't you take that boat over to Atlantic Island?
Well. The insurance issues and the legal issues we had to go through to get that thing
because
off the ground.
There's so much insurance fraud in New York
and New Jersey
that we can't do things that we want to do because the insurance premiums are so ridiculous.
And I'm sure we could probably pull it off again.
That's a silver lining take on
things. I mean, it was such an undertaking. And the reason we did that was because it was COVID time. This is the thing that people don't remember about
COVID.
This. Was we got the idea from the Buccaneers when they had their boat party because we couldn't have large gatherings of people. So we
right.
said, can we do that? So we sold, like the capacity was like 150 at the lake house. So we sold 150 tickets. I went to the foundation and then had the party out on the water with all the boats. So that's why we ended up doing that. So what do you get to here, Tracy? And why are salespeople calling you?
What I'm getting to is, I think just for like convenience factor for me, why don't you guys do a show from my living room?
Tracy, you have $100,000.
I'll make you frittatas and bacon and coffee, and you guys could just camp out in my living room, and you have a view of New York. You don't have to go to Poo Pooville, New York. You could just hang out in my living room.
Yeah.
Well, better the living room than the bedroom.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Wow, Tracy.
It would be lovely. Consider it.
Okay. I need to know, though, when did you meet this salesperson, and why are they calling you?
Oh, he's, for work. I was, I wanted to see, you know, what it took a couple clients. I wanted to see, like, what's the cost to have you guys, like, do a shout-out for, like, when, you know, when I'm. One of my clients.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
All right.
I don't want to say the name. Because
no,
I don't
it's fine
like,
because then, yeah,
plug.
Right.
You're smart. Yeah, yeah. Tracy, what exactly do you do for a living?
Oh, I have a marketing agency.
Oh, okay.
All right. Very good. So that makes a little more sense. I was just confused.
So now everybody can like psycho stalk me on LinkedIn.
I'm sure you'd love that.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Why did I open my mouth?
Have a great 4th of July and get a restraining order.
I know. Well, have a great 4th.
Yes. You too, Tracy. I'll see you later.
Okay. I hope to see you in my living room soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. That'd be interesting.
Oh, my goodness. So the craziest place that I ever did a show. Now, you got to think about this. I get sent out to Pittsburgh. It's my first month there. I'm doing nights. Our general manager lived in the school district of Pine Richland. His son was on the team. He wanted me to go and broadcast from the VFW hall for the football fundraiser. So I'm like, okay, this is my boss, right?
Yeah.
So we set up, and it turns out that there's, you know, they have cigars and the whole thing, and people are yelling and cursing and having, and I'm like, I can't do a live radio show in here. So the engineer, I crap you not, cleaned out a closet, and we went into the closet, and I did a four-hour radio show from a VFW hall closet. And then the door would open, and the cigar smoke would come in, and people would be like, oh, yes, screw that guy, and FM, and mother. I was like, oh, my God. And I walked out of there going, this was the worst decision I ever made in my life to come here because I'm doing remotes in the closet of a VFW hall. But it ended up working out. Everything ended up working out.
Well, you never know. It could be Tracy's living room next.
No, there's no way. I mean, if we went and did a live remote from a listener's living room, we could never, the sales team could never charge any other restaurant for a remote ever again.
But that would be a thing. Like, that would be just a novelty type of thing. Like, what, like, could you do it out of Dan and Carteret's apartment? Could you imagine what that would be like? Or Anthony and Belleville's apartment, or just, the insane asylum he lives in.
Yeah, we'll go to Dan and Carteret's place and then bring a cadaver dog, and it'll be barking all over the place.
I mean, these are the kinds of things that you do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Jerry, I got to ask you a question, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Am I a silver lining guy?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. Let's go to David and Ronkonkoma. David, what's happening?
Yo, Boomer, Geo, how you guys doing?
Oh, sorry, David, what's happening with you?
Nothing much. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure if you guys touched up too much on this subject or not, but, you know, every now and then, I'll listen to Al, Jerry, and so on. And there was a point that I lost a parlay yesterday, and you know why? Because I generally agreed with Al when he used to say double headers for the most part. It feels as though 9 times out of 10, it's always a split.
Yes.
Incorrect.
But right. And so Jerry used to get, you know, every now and then he'll point out a fact that most of the time it's actually, you know, a team will win both games. So for whatever reason, I put in my parlay yesterday on the Mets and I said to myself, I normally do the split. You know, I normally do the split and so on. Right. But then I thought of Jerry for whatever reason. And I said, you know what, Jerry, he seems to be right on a lot of things, I think. So really? Let me just put the parlay on the, you know, I was like, let me put the parlay on the, you know, the Mets winning both games yesterday.
Mm.
And guess what happened?
They split.
They split, you know, so I just want to thank Jerry for his great stats. In fact,
they're not my stats. The facts are that in the last 357 doubleheaders, 45% were splits, 55% were sweeps. My facts. Those are facts.
And by the way, David,
and I didn't tell you to pick them.
Yeah, right. Of course. By the way, David, doubleheader was a split yesterday.
Yes, they were.
There's three of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, Jerry, like I said, I'm teasing you, Jerry. But like I said, for whatever reason, you came to mind yesterday when right before I pulled the trigger on that bet.
I'm impressed, though. I would have taken the Brewers to sweep yesterday.
I know, the way the Mets are playing.
Yeah,
I hear you guys. Yeah. But listen, boys, it's always great listening to all four of you, all five of you as well, okay, Eddie as well. So, guys, listen, have a great 4th of July, right? And stay safe.
Thank you, David. You too, my
Same
man.
To you, David.
You
Thank
see that,
you.
Jerry? People do listen to you.
Sure, yeah.
By the way, I was thinking of you for a different reason yesterday. Gene and I watched the cheesiest movie, one of those Final Destination movies. You know, those are?
No.
All right. So it's Fleegs. You're familiar with a Final Destination movie? So they're cheesy movies, but they're big box office hits, and they put out a bunch of them. So we watched one on Friday night because we were in a mood for a cheesy movie, whatever. It actually got decent reviews.
It was like Netflix and chill? Is that what you're doing?
Kind of, without the chilling.
Okay.
So we put it on. And
Netflix
it,
and balls.
So basically, it's about how a person escaped death in their early portion of their life when they shouldn't have. And then death comes to find them some way later in life. And, you know, it's like coming like a tree will fall or whatever. They got to avoid it. They got to make sure that things don't happen. I felt like I was in a Final Destination movie yesterday because, one, I had a golf ball land 6 inches away from me from 220 yards away.
Scary,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
And I didn't. Now I know that they, because there was a caddy with them. I guarantee they yelled for. I couldn't hear.
But you know why? Because
away.
The wind was blowing towards them.
Yeah.
So they could be yelling for. You're not going to hear it unless the wind's behind them.
I mean, it was right there, like
scary,
out of nowhere, bang. And then later in the day, I had an allergic reaction to something that I ate and couldn't breathe.
Really?
I won't go into the whole details, but yeah, I needed an inhaler and we ended up taking care of it, whatever.
Wow.
But I thought I would, and I'm with Boomer, and I'm thinking, Jerry is the one who was under fire here for so many years, dying on the golf course and being epic.
Almost happened to you.
You almost had two occasions yesterday. I didn't want to bring it up, but
no, it's fine.
You bring it up, that's fine.
No, it's fine. I don't need to. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I was just thinking of Jerry. I almost had the epic death story.
So we played yesterday at a place called Sea Wayne, which is down in Hewlett Harbor on the south shore of Long Island, not far from JFK Airport. Now, getting there is like
it's
a whole thing. But once you're there, it is one of the coolest golf courses.
Very unique.
You will ever play. And we actually had an opportunity to play with a guy who's done some renovation stuff there.
Designing,
Jeff Stein.
Yeah.
And we've
yeah.
had Jeff on before, by the way.
Yeah, he called in. Yeah,
he called in. And I have to tell you, I was telling Gio this yesterday in the middle of the round. I'm like, I could play 100 rounds of golf with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And just talk about the contouring of a golf course, how he sees things, what he wants to do. And, you know, it's just... I love the fact that he's able to be as creative as he is in his job. You know, and he worked with Gil Hance on a lot of different projects and a lot of very famous golf courses. And actually, I don't have the ability to be able to do what he does.
But you'd love to.
Oh, man, that would be awesome to be able to do
that. So here was a recreation of yesterday. So what do you think about getting rid of that cart pad and putting gravel? And I'm going... You know, so what'd you do with this? Was this bunker always here? Because this looks new. Yeah, well, what we did is we took the one out over there and we put one.
Yep. Hey, dude, it's just what we're talking about. I mean, you know, I had to take him to urgent care.
Was it food? So you had to leave?
I had to take him there.
Yeah, on the 17 tee box, I had to get. I it was enough. I couldn't. It
How
kept getting
long
worse.
Were you wheezing for?
No, it was like, he started to blow up. I could tell he was starting to like physically blow up.
Yeah, so
like his face was getting really fat.
Yeah,
really? His fingers were getting fat.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and then I had a rash near my hands, and then my eyes were watering incessantly.
Dude.
And then
I was seeing up on 17, ready to rock and roll. I'm playing great, and I'm like, all right. He's going.
So like,
I'm like, we gotta get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I know. It was, and I tried to gut it out. I really did. I played like three holes. It just kept getting worse. And then I started feeling my throat like itchy and swollen. And then because I'm an asthmatic, of course I usually have my inhaler if I'm ever going to do something exerting myself, which I never do, because then it'll kind of crop up, but I didn't have it. And the breathing just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was like, and then we were trying to get Benadryl out to the course. I really wanted to finish, but it got to the point where I was like, I can't do
it. So this was asthma. This wasn't, you didn't eat something.
No, it was an allergic reaction because my face blew up. Hmm. My eyes were watering. I was itching around everywhere. And here's the thing. I've never had a nut allergy in my life. But the only thing I ate on the golf course was a handful of nuts out of this thing. And then 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, this started to happen. So I was telling Allie, and she said she developed a walnut allergy when she was.
That doesn't surprise me.
You know, after as an adult, and I guess that could happen. So it could be one of those. I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm gonna go get an allergy test from my doctor and figure it out.
Asthma, get over there on that other field and have some asthma.
Get over that other field and have some asthma.
Yeah. So we were on the 16th green, you know, and. And it's not funny. Well, it's funny now because he's here and he's fine. It would have been epic had he not been here. I mean, we would have shut down the show and would have been impossible to enjoy 4th of July. But
yeah, bad time to die.
Bad time to die. But he put the ball, I don't know, 30 feet past the hole.
Which I hadn't done all day.
Right, exactly. And then he's putting it back. He goes, oh, guys, I can't.
It's true. I was like, I can't concentrate.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it got to that point. I was like, I can't concentrate on putting or anything. I was just like, what I was just trying to do was just like get the hole over with so we could finish because I didn't want those guys to have to stop playing. You know, that's like in my head right now. So I was like, let me just do whatever I can do to get off this green.
I want to ask you a question, a serious question about golf. Okay.
Yeah.
When you're playing around a golf and you're with a group and you're playing, let's say, skins. Okay. So. Let's say it's a $5 skin. So that means everybody is putting up $5 for that particular hole. So there's three of us. It's $15 per hole gross, okay? And if you tie a particular hole with one of the other guys, then you carry over to the next hole. And then that hole's worth two holes. And then if you have a birdie on that hole, that would be worth two for that hole. And you'd get the hole before that, so that would be three holes.
Right.
So I had... In the process, I was winning 11 skins.
Whoa.
Okay, and it's probably going to be a possibility of 20 skins in this round, and we have two holes to go before...
I think you get what so it now, was when it ended, you know? So whatever it was.
Yes. Right,
that's what I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. You get what it was when it ended.
All right, so I had 11, you had two.
Right.
And I think Jeff had two.
Okay, so 9 times 5, 45?
Yeah, I didn't get paid, like, because it was... We had to go to urgent care.
Unless you're going to go finish the round.
I don't.
And it's like a suspended round, and you got two holes to go.
No, it takes like 3 weeks to get there.
Yeah, then I would settle up now then. That's what I would do.
Unless you have change, I got.
By the way, good time. If you want to play with Boomer and Geo, August 18th, we have we're auctioning off a twosome to play with these two guys in Marlboro at Bella Vista Country Club for the charity golf tournament.
Just make sure you bring an EpiPen, all right?
32auctions.com/boomer-geo-golf.
Holy God.
Come bid and play with Boomer and Geo.
You know what sucks, too, is that last hole, I was right there with you in two, and I could have not lost those skins. We shouldn't count that last one.
No.
Give him $5 back. Last one. I mean, the guy's dying on the green.
I was putting for birdie.
So was I.
Dying on the green. He was walking all over the green.
The way you just described it.
Yeah, I know. I was walking because I had to because we were playing golf still. And then I stopped when I couldn't.
You know what? He really, I mean, you could tell, like, in his face and his hands, like, he was blowing up like H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
How long did it take you to get to the urgent care?
15 minutes.
You know, it's a little bit of a... down there with all the lights and everything and Sunrise Highway impossible. And Lynbrook and everything.
Can't get anywhere.
I have to say, that urgent care, what did you go? MD urgent care?
City MD.
Yeah, that thing was awesome.
Yeah,
he walked in, guy behind the counter was awesome, took really good care
got
of
right
him.
Back.
Immediately got you in there.
Yep, got back. Man. And then so they put the oxygen thing on my finger and it's 88. And the nurse goes, huh. She's good. Like, she goes, give me another finger because that doesn't sound good. So I give her another finger. It's 89. She goes, hold on a second. Boom, right out, gets the doctor in.
Yeah.
He gives me 340 milligram prednisone immediately and then sets the nebulizer up. And I had taken Benadryl about 25 minutes before, so I think things were starting to help there too. And then as soon as I got the albuterol in with the nebulizer, I could breathe. And I was like, all right, Jesus. I'm good. Yeah. So
First time I've ever had to leave a golf course
for
a medical reason.
Emergency.
Yeah,
anybody that I've ever played with or me or anybody.
I mean, I did it once. Yeah.
What?
I did it once.
Yeah, I know
you did.
Just
bleeding out.
I mean,
yeah, but your kids and father, they stayed and played.
I made sure they stayed and played. That is true.
Well, I mean,
I wanted to call the ambulance. And
now, that would have been some move.
Call the ambulance.
You're good, G. The ambulance is here. Go.
I would have been fine. I honestly would have been fine with that because I never want to leave. I never want to anybody else's day or whatever. It had gotten to the point where it was not getting better. It felt like it was getting worse, and I never experienced anything like that. And if I ever did, like, pass out, and thank God I got because my oxygen was so low. If I ever did pass out and die because I didn't want to ruin Boomer's day, like, I would have really been pissed at myself wherever my dead body would have gone.
Well, it's a good thing you got the help you needed. I know you didn't finish the day, but all good.
All right. How about we got shorter breaks there. We take a break. We get Jerry back in just about 5 minutes from now. How does that sound? Because I want to hear
whatever you want.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're talking about a ton of other stuff with Jerry last hour, but I do want to hear what he's got for us. I mean, last segment. I do want to hear what he has for us right now, so get right to it. What's going on, Jerry?
I brought you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I've got some, Yankees lost, Mets won, split to doubleheader. We'll get to that in a moment, but a couple of reactionary clips from the Mike Brown hiring from the Knicks as their new head coach. I got one from, this is a theme, I guess, from guys like Evan and Pat Boyle. Here's Evan taking bows for the hire and the way things shook down.
This is my kind of surmising now their plan. And this is where I think every Knicks fan should apologize to not just the New York Knicks, but to even guys like me.
He thinks their plan was executed perfectly. He calls out the critics of what the Knicks have just gone through.
Most of the New York media and the national media, I think they embarrassed themselves. I really did. Mm. They called them idiots. They called them fools. They have no plan. This is an embarrassment. Typical Knicks.
Hmm. So I guess all of us were wrong.
The idea that the Knicks were idiots, the way it was portrayed for the last month, I think everybody who said that embarrassed themselves. I think they got egg all over their face.
Hmm. Egg all over our faces.
Well, I mean, he had egg all over his face after that take because they continued to ask other teams for their coaches. This is their seventh choice. He was always out there. His name didn't come up immediately when people were saying, hey, if you fire that guy, you must have someone in mind, a big name to come in and replace him. We got to went through 10 or 11 people before we got to Mike Brown.
Correct. That is true. We can have egg on our face when they're hoisting the trophy or at least in the NBA finals.
We have egg on our face for that. I mean, I thought that it would be Mike Brown all along. Because he was the only guy left that was not in any way, shape, or form a threat to either William Wesley or Leon Rose or Jim Dolan, that he was going to come in and he would have the credentials to be able to stand on their own. But he was not the first choice. They went after all these other guys that have already been hired and are working for other teams and got shot down. And even Shams came on and said, some people said, F no.
Yeah, I mean,
they hate the Knicks.
Right, and there was other executives in the NBA. Not that everybody's a genius, but I think most people in the NBA themselves were saying how silly this was.
So. We all thought that it was either going to be like Mike Brown or Budenholzer or the other guy.
Taylor Jenkins, yes,
or Malone.
Oh, Mike Malone.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd love to know the full story behind that.
They never interviewed Mike Malone.
Yeah, I'd really want to know why he is disliked here in New York.
There's something going on there.
And obviously.
He's not going to be accepting of what the front office is, probably. I bet you he's a coach that won a championship, wants to do things his way, and stay out of my way. You give me the players, I'm coaching them, and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. That's what I would think.
Last one, a very definitive statement in the Sports Minute from 5:50 this morning.
The Knicks are going to go to the finals this year with Mike Brown as their head coach. And I want apologies from everybody that decided to jump on the bandwagon and make fun of the Knicks when they were going through the coaching search
process.
Everybody
wants apologies and pats on the back.
I think Pat Boyle thought it was going to be Taylor Jenkins. That's who
he
wanted.
He wanted
Taylor Jenkins. Taylor Jenkins. I mean, like, okay, so now you get Mike Brown, and now all of a sudden, everybody's supposed to apologize?
Hey, I'm the star of WFAN. I'm WFAN's Pat Boyle.
And by the way, you know, when Tibbs was first fired, the first guy that we talked about who was available was Mike Malone. It wasn't Mike Brown. It was like, wow, they just fired Mike Malone. He just won that championship a couple years ago. So, and then we're going, well, it's probably, I mean, what about Jay Wright? What about trading for Jason Kidd? Or what about whoever? I mean,
Danny Hurley.
We went through all of that. Mm-hmm. No one was like, you know, they fired him because Mike Brown's out there. I mean, it took like weeks to get the Mike Brown.
So that's very true.
I mean, like, and he may end up working out great. That's a different conversation. And I don't dislike the hire at all, and I love his experience, and hopefully it works out. But I mean, he really is. Him and Tibbs are very similar with their career resumes.
And by the way, I would think that the roster right now, as currently constructed, is the best roster that the Knicks have had in 25 years. Currently constructed with all the guys that they're adding to this team, and maybe they're going to add one more point guard of some sort. Who knows? Hopefully, it's not Ben Simmons. Oh, God.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. Just a couple of quickies here. So the Yankees fall behind the Blue Jays 8-0. They get back to 9-9. Aaron Judge hits the game-tying home run. Then Devin Williams gives up the two runs.
By the way, that's a clutch home run.
A very clutch home run, of course, and by in the top of the eighth inning, no doubt. But in the bottom half, two runs scored by Toronto. The go-ahead run comes across on a wild pitch by Williams. Ben Rice was the catcher. Do you want to add that? And then you had the Addison Barger RBI single to make it 11-9. That was the final, as the Blue Jays have now tied the Yankees for first place atop the AL East. Both teams now 48-38, and Tampa won last night. So the Rays are just a half game back as well. They beat the A's 6-5. There is, though, even in a loss, a Thrivewell player of the game brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion, and it is. It's Aaron Judge because of that clutch home run. That having been said, you ask Judge, what's going on with this team? They have not played well in the last month.
It's tough to say. It's a long season. We're going to go through two of these a year. Every good team does. And we'll answer these questions just like this, but it comes down to us just playing better. We're not playing good baseball, so, you know, a couple things we got to clean up, and we'll be right back where we need to go. So, you know, we can't sit here and, you know, put any more pressure on ourselves or worry about certain things. You know, we just got to show up tomorrow and do
it. Here's our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. Will Warren, should note, too, was a mess last night. Gave up 7 runs in the first inning.
But at least he hang in there for
He got through four.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and this is where they were talking about it last night. Like, you just got to dig down and just fight out of it and give the bullpen arrest and try to eat up as many innings as you can at that point.
And he did. You get Clark Schmidt tonight against Chris Bassett on the Fan at 7:05. As for the Mets, they got housed in the first game by the Brewers 7-2 because of a Joey Ortiz grand slam in the sixth inning off Reed Garrett. But then in the nightcap, the Mets came back and wound up winning 7-3. You had the grand slam from Brandon Nimmo, followed up by the solo home run from Francisco Lindor. Blade Tidwell did not start, so they went opener with
Razabon.
Exactly. He goes the one inning, then Blade Tidwell came in and went 4 1/3, and he got the win. This was Tidwell.
I think just execute pitches a lot better than I had previous outing. Just get ahead and attack the other team. We had a 5-run lead because our offense came through. So it was just getting ahead of guys.
And they got to the kid Jacob Mizorowski for those 2 home runs early, 5 runs, 3 2/3 for the 6-7 fireballers, they say. Series finale today, or rather tonight, excuse me, on The Fan with David Peterson taking on Jose Quintana. You did have Clayton Kershaw get his 3,000th career strikeout last night, and the Dodgers went over the White Sox 5-4. He did not factor into the decision, though, when 6 innings, the Dodgers scored a few runs in the 9th inning to come back for the win. Max Muncy was helped off the field in the 6th inning with a knee injury. I'll have some more baseball highlights coming up next hour, but we were talking about social media. I was going to play this last hour. Max Homa has decided to quit X. He did, this was during his press conference, I think it was yesterday or the day before, tells us why.
Reason for that was just the vitriol you read online. It has become a safe haven for people who are, I think, angry themselves.
And he says it's gotten really bad.
Twitter or X or whatever has just become, it is an awful, awful place. It took me a while to catch on to how impactful that can be and how much of a waste of energy, but I miss the connection with the fans. But
understood,
total distraction it is what I think.
Well, he also gave an example of what he's dealing with.
People say some bad things. You get people telling you should die on the internet, so has nothing to do with not connecting. I'd love to keep connecting with people, but I try to do it in person a bit more because I have yet to meet somebody in person who has said anything even remotely mean. So yeah, it's a safe haven for ass. Lack of a better term, sorry, PGA Tour.
So there you go. So he's off that, still on Instagram, though.
And he did fight back at a couple of tournaments and made himself relevant, but he had gone through a really, really bad stretch, you know, lost his swing and everything. So I'm not surprised that this has coincided with the fact that he was playing really poorly.
But it has to be gambling, right? Like, well, why are golf fans don't care enough to be yelling at guys?
Of course it's gambling. And people bet on these golf tournaments way more than I think the average person would think because of the odds that are out there. And there's, like, you know, making the cut and everything else, top 10, top 20. So there's so many millions of things that you could win for a better when you're an individual. And when you don't, then some moron's going to say something.
Even Ricky Fowler in Connecticut last week, like, stopped on the green and went over and was not yelling, but got into it with a fan.
And there was another guy in LIV when someone was yelling at Patrick Reed, one of Patrick Reed's LIV teammates, I'm not sure who it was, went over and confronted a fan and got in a fan's face. So
Tyrrell Hatton, my new favorite golfer.
Yeah, right.
Did you see him and that tournament in Dallas this weekend by any chance?
No, what did he
worst
do?
Bleeping hole in the history of golf.
Oh no, I didn't hear that. No,
that guy, it's funny, pretty good. So I'll have more next hour.